works.
Blog Talk Radio.
Some epic opening music, and I will say this, or say that. Welcome to the Screaming Boy Podcast, and we are live on the Regulation Broadcasting Network, and I'm excited to have everybody here, and, everybody. If you're listening in, so glad you're here. I am with, tonight, we have, of course, the one, the only, Mr. Jesse Starcher. Street level stars, how are you tonight?
Doing good. I'm glad to get here. I am about to bless everybody out there in podcast land with my ignorance on two franchises that I have I just don't know a whole lot about them, and I can't wait to sit here and learn from you guys. I guarantee you that's probably going to be no. I've already learned something already. I'll let our next guest discuss what I just got learned on before the podcast started.
And that brings on the ever intelligent, ever disappointed in Jesse, Mr. Patrick Nolan.
I don't know that I'd go so far with the intelligent part, but the disappointed in Jesse's pretty damn accurate.
Dude,
for those who don't know. Believe it or not, we actually discussed some things before we jump into a show, and Ronnie
sometimes
said he wanted to keep things PG-13 tonight in terms of the ratings, which led me to ask,
yep,
were we going to get JC Ice and Wolfie D? Wrestling fans, you know what I'm talking about. Because
I'm a wrestling fan, but when I pull up a picture here, and it looks like Scotty Too Hotty Light, and Mr. I don't know who this guy is standing beside him. I had no clue that these guys, I didn't even know these guys were wrestlers, I don't think.
It looks like a
totally
bigger Scotty Too Hotty and a smaller Buff Bagwell.
Okay. I'll go with that.
They do. In all fairness, they do.
Yeah.
But, like, not unlike what we're going to talk about tonight, their gimmick heavily predates that of the Too Cool era.
Yeah.
And it's arguable in the eyes of many which one was better, who gets points for originality. So it's actually a pretty good segue into our show tonight.
Mm.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Ooh. Ooh. It sounds like we've actually planned something tonight.
No.
Well, everybody knows that's not true. Oh, my goodness. Well, tonight we are asking the hard-hitting question. We're ever in sync with the rest of the Radledge and Broadcasting Network.
Synergy.
We're asking the hard-hitting question. Synergy, man. That word that I really still don't know what it means. it's. I mean, you know, synergy. I don't know. Anyway.
That was the computer. Synergy was the computer that turned Jim into Jim. That's what synergy is.
That's the truth.
We'll go with that.
I almost made that joke, too. I came close to it. Really close.
So now we know who I have gained respect for and lost respect for. But synergy. We are on the Regulation Broadcasting Network. We have discussed on on Source Material, we did, I can't remember the name of the comic book. Oh, my gosh, help me out.
From the Ashes.
It was Voltron, From the Ashes. And then on TV Party Tonight, they did the new season of Voltron Legendary Defender. And so with that, we are tonight asking the hard-hitting question of Voltron. Well, it's not really a question, but it's Voltron versus Power Rangers. Now, these are two very popular franchises, and they have recently released one movie that was the new Power Rangers movie, the new Netflix series Voltron Legendary Defender. And I've watched Pat, Jesse, have you all watched any of the new Voltron series? Well, we pretty much know Jesse's answer on that one.
Yeah, I have not. I've listened to the TV Party Tonight. Matter of fact, I'm in the middle of the one that they did this week, covering this whatever season 3A, and then I guess season 3B is dropping later. But yeah, I haven't sat down about that. No, he was not. I have not had a chance to get in there and watch them, though. So, there's my answer for that.
Pat, have you
and I have
you watched
seen,
it?
I've seen – I saw the first season, and it took me a while, believe it or not, because I was really excited when they first put it out, and I tried to watch the first episode a day – like when I got home from work a couple of days after it was released – and it put me to sleep, so it took me about a good year to muster up the attempt to try to watch it again.
Ouch!
I can see that. It's a little slow starting. But have you seen? I mean, you've seen the other episodes, of course, in the first season.
I saw the first season in full.
Yeah. So, what'd you think?
We'll get more into, you know, when we talk about the initial run of Voltron 2. I thought for taking the premise and the show for what it was, what they tried to do with it is very admirable and not easy. And I think they did the best they could.
Very good, very good. Well, I remember watching both these franchises. It brought up a quick story of I think we have a caller, Jesse.
Oh, someone I'm glad somebody said something. I need to watch a switchboard. all right, there we go. I brought him on. I imagine I'll let you do the introductions there, Ronnie Adams.
Area code 304, better known as Mr. Adam Runyon, one of the prestigious hosts.
Is this Pizza Hut? Hey,
yeah,
it's Pizza Hut.
Incorrect, sir.
Hang up on.
Click. Click.
It's Adam Runyon, everybody.
People. What's up, my peeps?
Adam. I cannot wait because I've been itching to hear Adam's. If he's been into Voltron. Well, believe it or not, I have got a bad case of poison ivy. I'll send you photos later. But Adam, the only time I get a chance to talk to Adam very much at all is on this show. So we're going this is our third show this week on Voltron. Adam, what are your thoughts on these guys?
Okay, so I was more of a Power Ranger kid. My parents still have them. Like, I had the Megazord. You can take apart and put back together. It was freaking awesome. So, I really was more of a Power Ranger kid. But Voltron, I knew about. But back then, I had no way of, like, watching. You know, like, I had no way of accessing any kind of Voltron, you know, material. You know, so I was really into the Power Rangers more than anything. But the new Voltron cartoon that was on Netflix, I got through probably about half of it before my kids got tired of it, and then I had to just abandon ship. But I like both of them. I like both of them, but I was more of a Power Ranger kid. I really liked Power Rangers a lot, actually.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, a lot of people like to ask the question, you know, who ripped off who, basically. I hate to say it like that, but there is a lot of similarities between the two franchises. So if we take a look at it, it's been going on for some time now.
Who's running the bandsaw in the background?
Is it me? I hope it's not me. I got a dehumidifier that's been running ever since I've moved down here, so I don't know if it's picking up that. Hold on a second. Let me mute. Let me mute and see if it's me. Give me just a second.
Who's running the bandsaw?
I don't hear a bandsaw anymore.
Yeah, I think that's him. Who's woodworking?
All right.
And for those of you who are not with us offline, Jesse apparently has heard our comments and replied, "Damn."
That's it. One word. That's it. So, sorry, Jesse, your woodworking days have come to an end. All right, he must still be muted. So, okay, we're going to go ahead with it. He'll be back. So in the 80s, Voltron was a show, you know, and it aired in the U.S. And some other countries from 1984 to 1985 on syndication and then on cable in the 90s. And it even did some spinoffs and things like that. But since America knew of Voltron in the 80s and then saw Power Rangers in 93, everybody made the natural conclusion that they were similar and the Power Rangers were inspired by Voltron and kind of ripped them off. Because if you look at it, you know, you had the lions, the Voltron's lions, you know, each robot was a lion. Each had a, you know, specific color, red, black, yellow, blue, and green. You look at the Power Rangers. They had red, black, yellow, pink, and blue. So, and then they both had their specific, you know, separate robots. Of course, all of Ultron was the lions, and all of the Power Rangers were different Jurassic era animals. You know, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, the saber-toothed tiger. Pterodactyl. Help me out here, guys. I'm missing
Triceratops.
And
it was Mammoth.
Woolly Mammoth. Okay. So when they got into
Don't
big
forget
trouble,
Dragon Thor either, by the way.
Oh, we'll get there. So when they both fought larger than life, you know, enemies. One was called the Robeast, and the other were called just Rita's monsters that she, you know, make my monsters grow. And so
it's pretty accurate.
I can't believe I remember that. Yeah. So then the separate bots would form a larger, you know, robot. One was just Voltron, and the other one was the Megazord. So the original Voltron robot was known as Go Lion in Japan, and it was made of, you know, like I said, five different colored lion robots. And then the Megazord, and I can't bring – I will butcher the heck out of the Japanese name. Jesse, the only thing we can hear is you fumbling around with things in the background.
Breaker 1-9. All right. Woodworking class has been – disbanded. We have I told them there's a podcast going on, and I told them to keep it down. So there you go.
Cool deal. And let's go to the pilots. The pilots of Voltron wore the colors or similar to the lines. Like Keith wore red, and this is the original one. He drove the black line. Lance wore blue and did the red line. Pidge piloted the green line in his green uniform. Wow, what? Now we're building things.
It's not me this time, I swear.
Pidge did the green line and the green uniform. Sven wore black and Paolo did the blue line. And then Hunk wore orange and Paolo did the yellow line. And then it goes on from there. And then the Power Rangers always have the color, same color uniforms and with the same color Zords is what they call them. The original Voltron series, of course, was called Beast King King Go Lion and Armored Fleet. I can't, you know, something. I mean, it was Armored Fleet something. And, yeah.
Works.
But those hit the... Yeah, those hit around 91, about 81, 82. So then we go into the Power Ranger background. Power Ranger was called Super Sentai, and that started in 1975.
Oh, yeah.
With Kimetsu Sentai Go Ranger. And then Sentai, of course, is Japanese for teen. And the creator of the Power Rangers, Saban, was he wanted to adapt it, bring it over to the U.S. That took a little while, and it got, you know, it took till the 90s, and there we have it. So, actually, the Power Rangers were first in 75, and then Voltron hit the scene in 81, 82. So, when you look at it, people that are saying Voltron, now I'm not saying one's better than the other one. A lot of people were saying Voltron hit the scene first. It was actually the Power Rangers as the Super Sentai. So
let me,
that kind of,
can I,
you know, like,
can I, can I hop in real
world.
Quick? Yeah,
absolutely.
Dude. With it being the, with them having the, you know, the jump, as you say, that they were kind of created first. I want to go around the horn here real quick and ask. We'll start with Adam. Adam, have you ever watched a Super Sentai episode?
Now, are those the now? And I'm trying to listen to Ronnie. Is that the original, like, Japanese version of the Power Rangers?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I've never watched the pure Japanese version of that. I do know that that's the crazy, all the crazy, you know, Rita Repulsa stuff comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never actually sat and watched any of those. Like I said, I didn't even have access to Voltron, more or less, this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you, dude.
No, I've never seen one.
I was the same way. I think the easiest of access was Power Rangers when it was on.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Maybe Saturday mornings after X-Men. How about you, Pat? You ever watch a Super Sentai episode?
You know, morbid curiosity led me to one, like... Gosh, it's got to be probably about 7-8 years ago when people were finally figuring out how to put, like, full episodes of stuff on YouTube and what have you. And I had to watch at least one full episode to see what it was about. And I walked away with a lot more questions than I had answers.
Well, I don't blame you, because I'm sure there's quite a bit lost in translation when it comes to just jumping out. I don't know. You didn't start with, like, it wasn't like episode one of one season one or anything like that. This was something that was, I'm sure, had quite a bit of history behind it already. The episode
that
you watched.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you which episode. Couldn't tell you which episode or which season it was, but it was.
Yeah.
There was an established continuity at that point, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Ronnie?
I've never seen, to my knowledge, an episode of Super Sentai from, you know, from that back then, you know, the Japanese Power Rangers, as we put it. I'm really, really, really curious. But now that I've heard Patrick, I don't really care anymore. Or I was curious, but now I'm like, no, I'm good.
Well, I can tell you, our buddy Coop, he actually, every once in a while, I don't know when the last one he dropped was, but... Robert Cooper does a podcast that's on the network every once in a while called the Super Sentai. Man, I don't know the full name because it's something stupid like the. It's long, but it's Super it's a Super
wow.
Sentai podcast. I'm saying the names just escapes me right now, and it's too long for me to remember. It's not as bad as Imperious Rex, but it's up there. But I can tell you. I can tell you that he does a good job of breaking it down, and he's trying to get back into putting some more episodes out there. So if anybody's interested, cheap plug for the network, you can go back and listen to Coop. And I think I don't know who else joins them on that podcast, but I know it's a two-man team who tackle some of the great seasons of Super Sentai out there. But I am also – I raise my hand and I say I have never watched a Super Sentai writer, Kamen Rider, whatever it is, podcast out there. So our podcast. Make that a Japanese Super Sentai episode. Ronnie Adams,
okay.
Continue.
So,
I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine. You just completely threw me off my game, so.
That's okay. It's all good.
with all the similarities, you know, the different color, I mean, later on in Voltron, and, you know, as you go down, you know, the revamps, the remakes, the re-releases, things like that, I think they were more along the lines of everybody that had the color of their lion also wore that same color uniform. And it went on from there. So if I'm wrong, correct me on that. So the similarities, you know, keep piling up on that. So I guess my next question is, we'll just go around the horn. We'll start with Patrick, and we'll go Patrick, Adam, Jesse. You know, as a kid or whenever you watched these, did you ever think that – did they ever cross your mind that maybe one ripped off the other or anything like that, which is a big debate on – what was a big debate online?
Well, you know, the first time I saw Voltron was in the 80s, so there was no Power Rangers at the time in the U.S., obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching that. I was probably about 3 years old. And I had – you know, I liked it at the time, and then Power Rangers hit, you know, probably about – 4 or 5 years later, and you know, Voltron never crossed my mind for whatever reason. I guess it didn't leave that much of an impact with me, or I didn't watch it enough. But I didn't think about it until Cartoon Network put it back on the air in 1996 as part of Toonami. And at that point, I was like, oh, I remember this. And then as you start to see all these, you know, episodic formats where it's basically very similar show episode in, episode out. You know, get into trouble,
right.
Big monster, and I'll form the head. and it played out very, very similar to at least the Mighty Morphin version of Power Rangers. And because I had only known Power Rangers coming around in the 90s and me watching in the 80s, I was like, huh, this is where they got the idea from.
Mm-hmm.
But it never, like, I was like you. When I first saw the Power Rangers, when I first saw Voltron, it never dawned on me that, you know, that they would, that the Power Rangers might have copied them or anything like that later on. I was a big Voltron fan, but it didn't click with me, and it brought up a conversation with my mama. My grandmother, and I was sitting there, and we were flipping through the channels. I was spending some time with her, and the Power Rangers happened to be on. And I was like, huh, look at that. He kept on going. She goes, you used to watch that. I'm like, what are you talking about? I never watched Power Rangers. And, you know, it came out when I was older, when I didn't watch, you know, really shows like that all the time. She goes, no, I remember. You used to watch a cartoon like that, and they would get into robots and all this other stuff. It was kind of crazy, and I didn't like it, but you watched it anyway. I was like, wow, okay. So it didn't dawn on me until, like, recently that was Voltron, you know. So, Adam, did you ever think watching Power Rangers, you said you were more of a Power Rangers kid, when you finally got to see Voltron, did you say, like, one ripped off the other?
Now, you dropped out there for a second. Did you say one of them rip off the other? Is that what you said?
Did you think that when you saw, you know, when you were watching Power Rangers and may have seen Voltron or anything like that?
No. I think it was later on I probably did. But as I was watching it, no, it was sheer pure ignorance that I didn't know. You know, because, like, when Power Rangers came out, I watched it. I watched it religiously, too. But as far as one ripping off the other, I really don't think they did. I think Voltron and I mean they're both their own separate entity. You know what I mean? Like they're similar, but they're completely different. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
That's like to me, it's like take Dragon Ball Z for example. Dragon Ball Z in Japan is probably completely different because they have the American overdubs over top of them. So you have I have no idea what they say in Japanese, you know. But you could technically put any story you wanted to over top of the what's going on screen, and it would make sense as long as you kind of told a story. You know what I mean? So the way I see it is, you know, they probably drifted from the originals a little bit. But as far as copying, no, I think it's more. I think they're two different entities more than anything.
Okay. Jesse, to the untrained eye, will say, you know, you didn't watch really either one. Would you say that something fishy was going on there when you looked at both of them?
Dude, I had no correlation between the two. like I talked about, you know, when we discussed the Voltron book, which is the first ever actual Voltron property I ever, you know, put any investment of time into, was the Voltron from the Ashes. So I knew nothing about these guys other than what I'd seen in a flash on a Netflix ad or something that may have popped up on a commercial. Never saw or had the opportunity to watch the cartoon. I don't even remember if it was on a channel in my, on my stations that we had. So, I can't really say that it even occurred to me. This didn't like raise flags like GoBots Transformers. So that was completely.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you could
That's
see.
That's a really good comparison.
Yeah, you know right then and there. Well, okay, which one's better? Who seems to be ripping off who? So when it came to Power Rangers, watching the Power Rangers, you know, it all felt more unique than anything else I'd seen prior to that. So the short answer is no.
Okay. So obviously we've all got, I'm a bigger Voltron fan. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with when Power Rangers came out at all. Because I remember sitting in class and for some reason, this is legit, I was thinking about Power Rangers and worrying that I was too old to watch it. And then I heard these two girls in the same class talking about, have you seen that new show that's on Power Rangers? And I was like, really? They're watching, they're watching that? And that was
for you what Dawson's Creek was for most of us, where if we needed to initiate a conversation with a girl, we'd watch that show.
No, not really, because I still didn't admit that I watched it, because they were just watching it because they thought one of the guys was cute on it. And
okay.
I was like, well, this is definitely not going anywhere with me, so I'm going to just chill over here and not admit that I watch it because I like martial arts. So, that didn't go anywhere at all. But I will say that I am an unashamed Dawson's Creek fan. Go ahead and judge me. I don't care.
I'm judging you. I really am. I'm judging you.
Katie Holmes is hot.
Still, boy.
To this day. But, so. She is, daggone it.
Wait.
I won't argue.
I'm not judging you. I'm just judging you.
So, but I was a bigger Voltron fan, and there was several different reasons why. Because one, I thought it came first. I'll be honest with you, I thought it came first, and I was like, Power Rangers ripped it off. I'm not, this is dumb. Power Rangers. Okay, go ahead.
No, I want to hop in, and I hate to jump in here and maybe, ruin a point that you're going to make at some point. But man, it's got to be said that the Power Rangers that we all know. ripped off, you know, Kamen Rider or Sentai Rider. I mean, that's kind of the genesis of the show that we're talking about here. These guys
right.
took that all that product, and then they added and sprinkled in your teenage Saved by the Bell drama stuff. I can't fault you for that. I mean, go ahead.
I get that. That's, you know, I understand. But when these came out, when I was watching Voltron, and then later on when I actually watched Power Rangers a little bit, I didn't know about these Japanese shows.
Yeah.
So
me either. I thought it was wholeheartedly original thing as well.
Right. Well, I knew that Voltron had probably came from Japan because, I mean, you couldn't deny that watching it. But I didn't realize that, there were original shows like, Go Lion and Super Sentai. I like the fact that, and y'all can agree, disagree, and we'll get to that point. I like the fact that Voltron was a little darker. I mean, when they fought for blood, and they weren't fighting.
Look at what happened to Sven.
Right, exactly. Princess Alora took his place because, Patrick, what happened?
Sven got stabbed through the chest and died.
Right, on a cartoon. You know, and I remember them making the flaming sword, which was Voltron's big go-to, the end-all, be-all of fights on that. Going up against the Robies and slashing the Robies, and all you saw was a close-up of the Robies' face and blood dripped out of the corner of its mouth, and then it died. I was like, man, this thing is, it's violence is cool,
Heck yeah.
I was like, this is amazing. So now... that's why I like Voltron a little better, because it was a little darker, it was a little, more quote-unquote mature. It did have its silliness in there, but the fight scenes outweighed the silliness in my opinion, as far as it was, the fight scenes in that were a little darker than the lighthearted fight scenes in Power Rangers, because when Voltron hit people with his sword, sparks didn't fly out of their chest. That's just me on that. I just, I guess I'm sadistic and like a lot of violence.
There's probably a little bit more leeway, I guess I would say, with an animated show than with obviously a live action show. Because, if you got the Megazord coming through there with its sword, chopping one of the monsters in half, and it's all live action and blood's going everywhere. That ain't going to make, unfortunately, it's not going to make Saturday Morning Fox. it's kind of off
right,
the tape.
Right, exactly.
So,
and that's the thing, because there's a little, like you said, there's more leeway. But Voltron was obviously made in Japan, and I don't think they care what they put on TV. at any point in the day. So they had, like you said, they had a little more leeway, but they cared about, seemed like they cared more about the story than they did anything else. And the anything else was when they made the, Power Rangers for TV, they weren't just thinking about the TV. They were thinking about the subsequent, like, toy lines, coloring books, comic books, everything else. So, I mean, you look at the franchises and the merchandise that came out of each, other than, nostalgia-wise, how much stuff have you seen for sale for Voltron?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the Power Rangers. Holy crap, you're saturated with Power Rangers,
Oh, dude. Mass marketing machine.
And, yeah, costumes. And what else? The kids can be, a Power Ranger. So it's just one of those things where I think they were really, really going towards kids when they got the, you know, the whole Power Ranger line coming to America.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
Does anybody else have anything to add to that? Because I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, we talked about a little bit about Haim Saban, who was the guy who created basically the whole series and saw the opportunity for franchising it in America. And I think it's because he saw how many cartoons we had in the 80s that were based around toy lines. And he figured he could capture a couple demographics at the same time. Because, you know, for us in the 80s, like, He-Man was a cartoon to sell a toy line. Transformers was a cartoon to sell a toy line. You know, G.I. Joe, cartoon to sell a toy line.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did you have that, but when you mix in the kind of teen angst, I guess you could call it, to some extent, on what was on that show, with the G.I. Joe-esque moralistic grounding of the end of the episode, you kind of have a little bit older of an audience getting to, like, your preteens to deal with that stuff. And he saw that potential. And I give him a lot of credit, because it was common in Japan to take a show and rework it, as both of these shows are showing, and turn it into something else. But he really did a lot more than anybody else probably ever has. And I think, isn't there still, like, a Power Rangers active series going?
Oh, yeah, dude. Has to be. It's probably Ninja Force Go. I think my kid's watching some animated show that's very similar to that. I'm talking about my three-year-old Colton, who's watching. It was like Power Rangers Mini Force or something like that. I don't even know if it's Power Rangers, but by golly, it sure takes some aspects, as we've got, you know, five different people, different colored suits and whatnot, and I think they have different vehicles. I'm going to have to look it up, see if it's Power Rangers related. But regardless, it's still out there in pop culture for sure, and there's got to be a series going on. I'll look it up. You guys go ahead and talk.
There is. Like, my kid, my youngest is absolutely obsessed with Power Rangers. So, like, right now they have like the original Power Rangers, and they had Power Rangers Wild Force. Then you had, excuse me, then you had, like, the Alien Rangers, then you have Power Rangers Zeo, then you have the Turbo Power Ranger movie, then you have Power Rangers in Space, Power Rangers Lost Back, Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, Time Force, Wild Force, and I think there's even Dino Force. There's Ninja Storm, RPM, SPD, Mystic Force, Jungle Fury, Samurai, Mega Force. It's all over the place.
You're talking about 16 variations of this one idea that he had to just rework the show for an American audience. I don't think he had the foresight.
Ninja Steel is the most recent one, by the way, in case y'all are wondering.
Ninja Steel. But I don't think anybody had that foresight to come in and create all of that off of that initial premise of, let's Americanize Super Sentai and just add in some clips of teenagers. Like, I don't think he had any inkling that 25 years later there would still be some iteration of the show continuing on.
I'm pretty sure that Okay. I'm pretty sure for the adults they've got Power Rangers Special Victims Unit coming out soon. So
SVU.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the
Power
closest
Rangers
I've come to actually wanting to watch a Power Rangers related tune. By the way, Mini Force, I don't think has anything to do. Well, hold on, I might be wrong there. But anyway, there's like some kind of a time travel related Power Rangers, like Time Force or whatever. Came really close to wanting to watch that, but I backed off. For some reason, I remember picking up the movie, not the one that came out just recently, the one before that. I wanted to watch that, which I did get it and watch it, and I don't remember really hating it too bad. But again, I wasn't drawn to wanting to watch every single one of these or catch them, especially when I was back. Maybe it was just my age, but I knocked on Power Rangers because I thought it was more kid stuff. And that's funny because at the same time I'm watching the animated X-Men series. So I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if you can bag on me for looking at it that way or not, but I mean, of course, comics are comics, and a Power Rangers show is a bit different. It kind of, it just felt hokey to me. I don't know if it was just
it was hokey. Let's be honest, it was hokey. And even, like, I was probably, like I said, 7 or 8 years old when the first iteration of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came out. I tuned out, like, a little over a year after that, which is not a very long attention span for a show that's gone on to do what that did.
Yeah.
Because it, you know what I mean? It, like, I guess you get to a certain point where you just lose interest in certain stuff that you can't have a threshold for kiddiness at a certain point. But even at 9 years old, I was kind of like, this is not good. I don't like this anymore. I'm past it. Let's move on to something else. But I would still turn on the odd Power Ranger ripoff that was Americanized every so often to see if it was any better, like VR Troopers or
VR
Superhuman
Troopers.
Or Super Cyborg Samurai, I think was another one.
Oh, I don't remember.
Or Superhuman Samurai with Matthew Lawrence.
Really?
Does not ring any bells for me.
That.
It was him, and it was Jerry from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, if y'all remember that one.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about there.
I love Parker Lewis, but I don't remember that show.
Yeah, I love Parker Lewis. That's a podcast we'll do someday. We'll do the Parker Lewis retrospective.
It's been since I've seen an episode of that? Boy, that isn't streaming anywhere just by chance. Jeez.
It was on Crackle, the whole series.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And on an unrelated note, I now work with a guy who's just as big and looks just like Kubiak. But back to
the cube.
You know, Power Rangers and its many knockoffs. I think I still liked the reason I did that. I think I still liked elements of the show. I still liked the superhero element of it. I still liked the martial arts element of it. I just didn't like the storylines and how probably the one thing I'll say that turned a lot of people off my age group immediately from the show is when they replaced half the cast with a very lame explanation out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that'll always be down.
And to give some context, Adam, you were watching, I'm sure, from what you said, but the initial cast, you had three Rangers, Jason the Red Ranger, Trini the Yellow Ranger, and Zach the Black Ranger, out of nowhere, literally in an episode, were all going to be ambassadors for the United States in the World Teen Peace Council. And as such, they had to find three replacement Rangers. So
they replaced them with
Adam, Rocky, and I don't remember the girl's name. But out of nowhere, they were just in and automatically were just filling shoes. Yeah, everything's great. Cool. And I was like, this is not – what? How? This doesn't make any sense. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing for me with Power Rangers was, like, when it first started, I was like, man, this is so cool. This is great. This is awesome. And then, I don't know if it was, like, me just getting older, but I kind of saw through the whole – you know, Teen Peace Council bullcrap. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that could never happen. You know, like, of all the things that this show was going through, I had a problem with the Teen Peace Council. You know what I mean? So it was like, that could never happen. But aliens from another planet could. You know what I mean? But
I know. But we all saw that.
Yeah, and it was just like, I was just like, okay, whatever. But, like, I can't – let me back up and say – I can't tell you how freaking stoked I was when the Green Ranger showed up. I mean, that was like a defining moment in my childhood when the Green Ranger showed up. Okay,
it's so
and then all
weird.
Of a sudden it was like,
it's weird that when we're talking Green Ranger, White Ranger, that's crap I knew about, but I never watched the series. So that again speaks to how popular, because I mean that was the day before the. Way a little bit before the internet was around, you know, it's not like I'm picking that stuff off of off of Facebook or anything. This was making the rounds either at school or somebody was talking about how cool all this had, this show had gotten.
Right.
Go ahead, Adam.
Right, you know, and it was like the storyline behind the whole Green Ranger thing was just like my little tiny brain just exploded because I was like, oh, he's a bad guy.
and now he's a good guy. What? You know what I mean? It was like blew my mind, you know. And then he had like the coolest Megazord, you know what I mean? And like, I was like, I don't want Megazord, I want the Dragonzord, which I never got.
Nobody got the Dragonzord. The closest I got, I got the toy flute to summon the Dragonzord, and it never came.
I know. But like,
dreams were crushed that day.
right. But you know, the thing about the show was, back to your point of they just replaced everybody. It was like, I don't know what the point was, because I'm pretty sure Tommy is still on the show. You know what I mean?
I follow Jason David Frank on social media, because he's just become an interesting guy over the years, and he finally left the show.
Right.
But he stayed with it for legitimately 20 years.
Wow.
And his credit didn't age a day.
Right. It's probably because he was a freaking awesome martial arts guy too, man. I think that was the thing about when Tommy showed up. Like, you knew he was the Green Ranger, but it was like you just waited for that moment, that reveal. You know what I mean? And that reveal just, you know, was just so cool. But
yeah, and
I'll share
a Tommy story as far as relating to generations. My nephew, who's my godson, he happened to be into the Power Rangers at a point in time, and I don't know what iteration this was, but there was a big problem, and I was babysitting him, and it was all the Red Rangers from throughout time had to come together to stop this thing, and Tommy was currently the Red Ranger. So they actually got Austin St. John, who was the original Red Ranger that I knew, to show up for these two episodes. And they had a storyline that was actually well written and in depth about how Tommy apparently always compares himself as a leader to Jason, and was like, I can't live up to you, and this is why I'm seeking your advice. And I was like, this is pretty heavy for this show, considering it's still marketed largely to 6-year-olds.
Let me ask you this. On that note of being heavy and attracting the adult crowd, did you guys see there was like a fan made video of Power Rangers that came out a few years ago? They took it down. I don't know if you can find it anymore, but it was this fan made video of like a quote unquote Power Rangers movie, and it was like maybe 9, 10, 11 minutes long. Did you see that?
Yeah, with
no,
with Dawson.
Was that who was in it?
Yeah. I can't remember his name now. James Vanderbeek was in it.
Yes.
And then.
Yes.
I forgot. I can't remember who played the Pink Ranger in it. Somebody played Kimberly, and I can't remember. She was pretty. Oh, man, what is her name? Man, that's.
I don't know.
Disappointing. I can't remember her name. But.
That right there was like. It was like, to me, it was like.
It was a rated R.
Grew up. Yeah, it grew up with me, you know what I mean? It was like Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World, you know? He just kept going from class to class to class, you know? Like, eventually get to the point where it's like, you're like, man, I'm graduating, you know? And I saw that, and I was like, holy crap, this is incredible. I know Ronnie saw it, because I think you and I,
yeah,
we kind of geeked out a little
bit.
That's
it to you.
Yeah, but it was so good.
It was rough, though. It was really rough, and it was very dark. And actually, David Jason, which one is it? I can't remember. Jason David Frank wanted nothing to do with it because it was so dark, and it was dealt with, you know, Power Rangers killing each other, and. Or dying off, and there was one scene where it was Zach, the Black Ranger, was in bed with two different girls, and he was a drug addict, and all this other stuff, and it was really, really odd to watch. Now that you think about it, but, I mean, it was very well done. I mean, incredibly well done, but it was tough. You know, it was pretty rough, and so
he
distanced himself from it.
What was this?
The original Green Ranger wanted nothing to do with
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying, because I didn't understand what you were getting, and I was like, who's in bed with the Black Ranger?
it was just they had the Power Rangers in adult situations. You know what I mean? When I mean adult, it dealt with murder, it dealt with drug abuse, it dealt with a lot of different things that, you know, that wasn't a Power Rangers kind of show. You know, it's not what the Power Rangers were meant to be, in his opinion. And, you know, and if you ask anybody, it's going to be him, because, you know, he's been a Power Ranger since he was, you know,
it was
in his 40s now.
It was Katie Sackhoff, by the way, who was Pink Ranger.
Sackhoff, yeah.
Because I found the video online. I still want to watch it.
Oh, it's online?
Yeah, like if you look up, if you just go online, go to Google and just do, you know, Power Rangers fan made movie, first thing that pops up is YouTube, Power Rangers Unauthorized Bootleg.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, okay.
Dude,
so,
it's so awesome, too.
So, you know, we talked about how, like, Power Rangers has all these iterations and stuff over time. And, you know, Voltron kind of had the one series where it was, I want to say it was like 65 or 70 episodes. I think that was what a necessary syndication package was at the time. And they did versions of it later. Like, I know they did like a really short one in Japan that never got put over here. And they there was a lot of aborted Voltron plans, and nothing really ever stuck until Netflix really. But it, you know, it's interesting that, even though it only had that short abbreviated run, it still resonates so much. Whereas Power Rangers, like, obviously the original run is going to have its fondness, but it still gets talked about frequently, even though it only had a short time. You know, Thundercats, there are less episodes of Thundercats than you think there are, but it aired continuously for 5 years before it was taken off syndication.
Right. And so it definitely, you know, Voltron had a definite cultural impact. But the market was so saturated with Power Rangers, people identify with that more than they do with Voltron, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that. You have all the different iterations of the Power Rangers, you know, Power Rangers, Zeo, Wild Force, Dino Force, Special Victim
Ninja Steel, that's my favorite.
Ninja Steel.
That's the one running right now. Ninja Steel.
So you had all these different, you know, these different variations of Power Rangers, and the toys were always there. You know, I remember having one Voltron toy. One. And that was a pair of binoculars that turned into Voltron the robot. And that was it. And it was just
a transformer?
Of, you know, it was just a pair. I mean, he turned into a pair of binoculars. And his lion hands became the things the lenses that you look through. And I would leave it in robot form so I could play, you know, as Voltron. And there weren't that many Voltron toys, you know, that were readily available when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember, but now you can go to Target or wherever, or go online, and you can buy. You know, I walked into Target the other day, and every once in a while I walk through the toys, and you know, I found all the lions. I found, that form Voltron. You could turn them into Voltron. You know, the deluxe set. You know, that had all of them that you could turn. You know, and then you had the walking Voltron. You had all this other stuff. So, and I think that came with the new Netflix series. So,
yeah, I didn't have any Voltron toys as a kid. None.
Yeah.
And I liked Voltron, but there just wasn't any there. And years later, like around like 2000 or so, I think, I wanted to look on eBay just to see what like to get a Voltron statue would have been, or a toy just to have as like a, you know, a decoration piece. And it was like they wanted $150 for the original, like out of the box. Like I was like, "Come on."
Jeez.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what you can run into, and as far as, you know, toys for Voltron, and there's just so many more Power Rangers toys. And now that the new movie's out, there's that many more, you know. And speaking of the new movie, did anybody watch the new Power Rangers movie?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I did.
What'd you think, Pat?
It's definitely made for fans of the original show.
It's really comparable to me to the new Voltron series, where I can understand what they're trying to do in terms of they have a certain amount of source material to work with, but in reality, mm-hmm. that show was not a terribly well-written show with a lot of depth to it.
Right.
So they have to try to make something out of it and put something into it that wasn't there to make it a more commercially viable thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to appeal to the audience who watched the show 25 years ago that are now adults, while at the same time you're trying to cultivate a new audience who are going to come back for the sequels and merchandise.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't my cup of tea, but I think there were certain strokes of that was smart in there.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, they completely rewrote the show. I mean, rewrote the characters and everything in there. And, from what I can remember. And, they had the same.
Well, yeah, nobody on the original show had ADHD or gender fluidity issues.
Right. Was it ADHD or was it he had autism?
Yeah.
On the spectrum.
He had he was on the spectrum. He was on the autism spectrum.
Who was
and,
this? I missed that. Who was this?
This was in the movie.
The Blue Ranger.
Most recent movie.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's why I didn't miss it. I didn't remember any of that. I was like, what? I haven't seen the movie. Gotcha.
Hey,
yeah,
hey, real
because
quick.
The actual.
I just want to jump in here real quick. eBay got you a vintage Voltron Force Bandai Go Lion Goldekin Diecast Japan Lion Bot, $1,250, still in box.
No,
continue.
Chump change.
Jeez.
You've got to be a fan. You have got to be a fan. All right.
You
got to
be stupid.
Well,
not that big
a fan.
You got
to have money. Yeah, there's a couple thresholds I will not cross, and that is probably maybe the $200 line when it comes to really, really, really wanting something that's, you know, rings that bell for my childhood or whatever. Voltrons, I've already discussed that I knew nothing about Voltron, but the people that do, the people that love the show, man, and I'm curious, let's just see. Oh, no, we don't have any bids yet. You can buy it now for $1,250. We got one person watching. So,
one watching. What's the minimum bid?
There is no bid. There's no bids right now. Which
I'm,
I have
I'm
a
going
feeling...
in. $1.
Time left 28 days and 13 hours. So there's going to be a lot of room there for some competition. Apparently, I wonder if this just got listed.
Not,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
Okay. Well. Do y'all happen to watch a little web show produced by Screw Attack called Death Battle?
I did, as a matter
oh, no.
of fact. Someone suggested that I check that out.
Yeah, well, if you don't watch it, Death Battle is basically a show run by uber nerds not unlike ourselves who take the time to research a battle between two fictional characters, usually of some kind of similar standing from different worlds. And they use as much scientific data as is possible to determine a winner. And naturally, one of the fights that was chosen was Voltron against the Megazord.
Okay. I did not get to watch this. I meant to, but I did not. Patrick, take it away and let us know about it.
Basically, while Megazord is faster in terms of reflexes and has more options of weaponry, Voltron was able to do insane feats like cross galaxies within seconds of time and was able to create feats of strength like lifting out a machine that was drilling to the center of a planet effortlessly and throwing it into the nearby sun, where the discussion isn't really feasible. Voltron wins it every time.
Yeah, right. The strength and speed are definitely on Voltron's side. When they look, I mean, they were throwing math at you. If you have the chance, see, I didn't. This is the first time I ever watched a death battle, on YouTube, and I thought they would just kind of sit down and discuss blah blah blah. But no, they go, you know, through the steps and animate what would occur between the two, and it was very good. I'll tell you, I was watching the battle with bated breath just to see who was going to win. But at the end, they then throw the math at you as to why Voltron, and I mean math, dude. I'm talking like Newtons and stuff Adam Runyon would love to watch. these are things that they really picked apart and show you why Voltron would win. And yeah, it's a pretty clear cut case when it comes down to just math. So now here's the thing. There could be arguments though for Power Rangers. We've already kind of covered some of them about how, if you were wanting to say popularity.
Sorry, that was my
all right
fault.
Then.
Sorry, I had a little Dance with the Dead going on.
Just can't stop playing that tune. But no, I enjoyed death battle.
Yeah, but that's one of those times where it's like, you know, obviously we're not the only ones who think about this stuff if they're willing to dedicate an entire episode of Death Battle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just thought
it was interesting.
I'm not doing anything now. I'm sitting here.
He's playing a harpsichord from the sounds of it.
I figured you guys wanted to be serenaded.
Yeah, just
is that
you
the
don't
dragon,
like
dragon sword flute?
You don't like my gift to you, Ronnie? Is this what it is? You don't like my gift to you?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
That's
10:30 harpsichord playing.
I gotta get my practice in sometime. the world harpsichord competition's coming up pretty soon.
Oh,
so.
Damn.
Gotta get my chops in. Sorry.
I heard that. Go ahead and continue, Pat. You were rudely interrupted.
Continue.
Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, before we decided to try to summon the Dragon Zord.
That's funny.
No, but it's just one of those things where there's a natural comparison there. Somehow, they've each attained this cult status, Power Rangers through basically never stopping, and Voltron through just finding a weird little niche audience that always remembered it and liked it and wanted more of it but never got it.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't – certain shows, even if they don't have a prolonged run – can just hook you and want you to just constantly watch them, even though you've seen every episode four times at length, and they're not all that different.
All right.
Long
awkward silence.
That's good. That's good podcasting right there.
Cut out for a second, so that's my fault.
You're good. You're good.
That was my fault. I was like, he made a good point. But
I think we were reflecting on what you just said. That's what it was. We were reflecting on it, thinking about it. Man, that was a great point.
Yeah, it was a great point.
Like,
I just
like
pat
right
myself
now.
On the back.
Just like right now.
All right, Ronnie, come on, buddy. Hop in here.
I'm trying.
Ronnie, would you say it's comparable to that cult status attained by things like Salute Your Shorts?
Oh, man. Oh.
Wow. Yeah, because you brought that into the fray there. Salute Your Shorts. I guess you could say that because I've not thought about that show in
until just now.
Yeah. And there are people out there, like I can think of one right off the top of my head. Brian Pate would probably know almost every episode of that, maybe.
He probably would.
Your shorts. Yeah, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that because, like you said, it's a cult status. And and there are people out there, you know, like you said, Patrick, there are people out there like me, like maybe yourself, that remember Voltron and would pick that any day over, you know, over Power Rangers. But then I've got my friend Van. Van is a big Power Rangers fan, huge Power Rangers fan. He has like multiple Megazords and different collectibles and toys and things like that that have to do with the Power Rangers, because I guess he grew up with it and just absolutely loved it. And but Van might, you know, he rivals us in pop culture nerdiness and everything else, because I mean, this guy's, you know, he, other than looking like Captain America, I believe that he could truly be Captain America, but it definitely, you know, you have your fans of each one that would, you know, that would say, no, this is better, no, this is better. But honestly, in retrospect, when you look at both, you know, when you look at both titles, they've done a lot for their fans, and they've done a lot for culture today. I mean, you can't find any, you know, in a room full of people, there's going to be somebody that's heard of both franchises. You know, there's going to be somebody that knows who, you know, Voltron is, and there's going to be somebody definitely who knows who, you know, the Power Rangers are. So versus, I'm always going to take Voltron. I'm going to have to go, you know, look at the math on it as well, but I agree with it without even looking at it. Voltron, in my opinion, is more powerful than the Megazord. Way more powerful. Maybe even more powerful than the mighty Dragonzord that Adam tried to summon a few minutes ago. But as far as it goes, I mean, I'm going to have to go give it to Voltron on this. So, you know, Voltron versus Power Rangers, Voltron comes out on top, in my opinion. Jesse, what do you think?
Oh, I think I'm easily going to give it to Voltron here. And I will go ahead and say that Death Battle did not sway my decision before I had seen it. I had Voltron picked. And the only reason is, I think it goes along with what you had said earlier about how more mature of a property it was compared to what we were given on Fox Saturday mornings or whenever Power Rangers showed up. I knew that Voltron had that. I mean, is that considered anime? It would be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's any anime experts on here or whatever, but it's from Japan. It's an animated cartoon. I'm going to call it anime. Eat it. So there you go. I'll always give the nod to some super violent anime easily. So there you go. There's my answer.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick.
Ronnie.
Yes. In your opinion, Voltron versus Power Rangers, who wins every time?
Me personally, I will always be a bigger fan of Voltron and that mythos. But I gotta say, in terms of success levels, can't hate on the Power Rangers. They got it all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Adam.
So I've been waiting for this question pretty much the whole time, and here's what I'm going to say to that. I'm going to say Voltron, because Voltron ages better than Power Rangers. Okay, Power Rangers, if you watch the original one, not good. It's not. Like, at 33 years old, I can't do it all over again. You know what I mean? So Voltron, when I watch it, I'm like, man, this is awesome. This is great. So Voltron will always win in terms of entertainment value, but it, like, you know, I don't know. That's all I'm gonna say is in terms of entertainment value, that's what is going to Voltron's always gonna win. But nostalgia, no, I'll say Power Rangers.
Very good. Okay, so we've got We got two super successful franchises that have a lot to do with. Well, all four of us have you know, our childhoods have contained, you know, different levels of each show. Whether we were like a super fan of one and you know, just kind of watched the other one just because it was there or whatever. So I'd say we were, you know, we're pretty fair in what we've assessed. So, you know, of course, there's going to be people that disagree with us one way or the other, but they're not on the show and they don't have a voice, so they can suck it.
Suck it.
So, as far as okay, let me ask you this. This is an interesting question. As far as just the theme factor, as far as you know, lions versus dinosaurs. Who gets the win on that one? Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's can I answer first? That's dinosaurs easy.
Absolutely. Okay. Why is that?
Are you kidding me?
Wait, really?
No, not really. Not really. Not really. Not really. Pat, lions versus dinosaurs. Who wins?
I'm probably the only kid in the world who didn't think dinosaurs were all that cool and didn't care for Jurassic Park. Lions win.
There you go.
What's wrong with you?
Adam.
What's wrong with you? I'm afraid, though. I'm afraid that I don't understand the question.
Oh, I think you're complicating the question.
I think you've overthought it a bit.
No, here's the thing. I can't really hear anything. There's all kinds of static in the line. So did you say who wins, dinosaurs or lions?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. Easy.
There you go. There it is.
there you go.
There it is.
That's all you have to say.
Now,
dinosaurs easy every time.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know there, Ronnie Adams, I did reach out to one of the Power Rangers fans that I know, one of the biggest Power Rangers fans that I know, and that's good Stephen Marsh. All right, I watched this man.
Yeah,
he loves the White Ranger, and I don't know why. I don't know where that all fits in. Never dove into anything with him on source material about it, but I do know that he has quite the affection for the Rangers. So I asked him. I said, just Voltron or Power Rangers, and give me a reason. So he just answered. He says Rangers because six heads are better than one. Now I know about Voltron a little bit, so I don't know what I don't know what he's getting at there, because I don't know if he's saying that there are, because there's five of Voltron, right? There's five. Is it five different pieces that form the Defender of the Universe? So he also says the Rangers have a military arsenal of Zords and powers. You know, he does have a point there.
Well, that's, you know, you're that's at a certain point where, like, you're saying, okay, we're not going to have just straight up Voltron versus Megazord. The Rangers get to explore all their Zords against just Voltron, where it's like, you know, okay, I guess, but that's not really what we're asking for, but.
Yeah, if we're just going 1v1 or 5v5 or whatever, I'm giving it to Voltron, but you know, if you're looking at the series as a whole and everything that's come before it, all the continuity and what if these two worlds went to battle, the Rangers might have the upper hand.
Now,
you never know.
Now, without the Zords, I will say that in terms of just hand-to-hand combat, I'll give it to the Rangers without question. The original five Rangers.
Yeah.
Because really, you had on the Voltron side, you had Hunk, who could throw down, but really, otherwise, they were kind of just average freedom fighter rebels, I guess you'd call them. And one of them got stabbed through the chest on his first mission, which isn't a good sign of success.
Right.
Immediate fail.
Yeah.
Try harder.
And then you have.
And then he gets replaced by a woman.
Yeah. other than that, you have like Pidge, who's willing to be a suicide bomber if the situation calls for it. And this might.
That's true.
Wow.
But otherwise, I think the Rangers would kind of skewer and kebab them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because they were, you know, they were daggone martial arts experts. And, you know, one might argue the fact that, you know, in Japanese animation, everyone is a martial arts expert. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I defy you to find any Japanese animation where somebody's not throwing a kick or something. So, there goes the bandsaw again.
No! Has it been going off this whole time?
Yes, it has.
Yes, it has.
You guys need to tell me this. I honestly think it's there's nothing on down here in the basement. I'm starting to wonder if it's something to do with my computer now. So, yes.
Y'all don't have like a pork loin where you're getting some chops ready?
Sorry, not at 10:45 at night. No, we usually do our eating around 6 or 7. You guys need to.
You don't have the blender
going
making a smoothie.
You know, every once in a while I hear this, bzz, bzz, and I'm like, now I know somebody's phone just went off, but regardless, every once in a while I'd hear something weird, and I'm like, is that what they're hearing? But hell, I didn't know it was going off this whole time because I've heard it this whole time, every once in a while through my headphones. Anyway, I'm going to mute myself until the plugs, which I don't know if we're coming towards the end
further
here.
Notice.
Yeah, geez Louise. I'll check back in here during plugs time.
Go get your chops ready.
So plugs.
Dinner's a coming, buddy.
I'm gonna eat at Jesse's house, man. That's better one I have.
I know. Exactly. But guys, this has been an awesome discussion. I think we've all pretty much gotten our points across and talked about two amazing franchises from our childhood. So with that, I'm going to say, hey, Patrick Mullen, what's going on with you? Where can we find you? What have you been doing, you know, with yourself?
Lately, I've actually been more of with my bad self. Well, my bad self is a different story. That's off the podcast world. But my not so bad self, when I'm podcasting, yeah, I've been doing a lot of shows with Robert Winfrey from 411mania.com for their MMA zone on Sunday nights. Find that here on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It is the 411 Ground and Pound radio show where I've been doing a lot more analysis and breaking down some fights. And this coming Sunday, we'll be doing a preview of the sham that is Mayweather-McGregor coming to you August 26th.
Ooh,
so you can look for our extensive, amazing preview show on this farce. And if you don't get what my thoughts on it are right now, I advise you to tune into the show and tune in on Sundays anyway, just to hear me wax poetic and try to get a date with Paige Van Zandt.
Very good. Good luck with that, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Adam, hit us up.
Yeah. What's up? What's up, Ronnie?
Hit us up.
All right. So you can find me on Twitter, Adam is a Nerd. I don't get on there as much as I'd like to, but you can find me on there. But if you're looking for me, I'll probably sit in front of my computer taking online classes. So we're good. Right? Right. We're good.
Very good. All right. Jesse Starcher, master of the bandsaw.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can go over to the Radulich in Broadcasting Network Facebook page. Give that a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. Just like we mentioned earlier, on Source Material this past Monday, we did a book called Voltron from the Ashes, where we discussed what just happened to the original Voltron team. And then the story takes place 200 years after Voltron fell. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. What happens when the new team takes the helm of the Five Lions? Well, you can check it out and listen to us discuss it. I think we did a pretty quick show. It was a pretty tight show. Good show.
Yeah,
check that out. It was good. Ronnie Adams was there. He was there. Mark Rattles showed up.
I was.
And he also contributed. So check it out, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow me at Stiznarkey on Twitter. The show's Twitter is buzz. And that's all I have.
Is that
Ronnie
the
Adams.
Like, is that like the longest name you could possibly find?
Buzz.
No, that's just
buzz.
I bet you they were like too many characters, right? Too many characters.
Well, that's actually the motto of the Honeybee Troop. If you are not so inclined, it's I pledge my love and loyalty to all the hive and every bee. Our motto is and ever was buzz.
All right then. I'm muting myself.
Touché.
And take us out here.
Touche.
I have no clue what you're talking about there.
Touche.
What's the honeybees?
They are a radicalized Girl Scout troop that appear on Full House.
I knew it. I thought I saw Uncle Jesse and everybody say that. I swear in my mind I saw Uncle Jesse saying that. Oh my gosh. What have y'all done to me?
Radicalized girls. You can find Screaming Boy Podcast on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR. You can find us on Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast. We are on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. We have not recorded much here lately, but we will be getting back on the old recording bandwagon here soon and getting some fresh content out on iTunes. But until that happens, Mr. Mark Radulich has so kindly given us the live show spot on the Friday nights. So that is what you are listening to now. So it is getting late, so I'm trying to get all my thoughts in a row here. We did a show that was so lovingly called Some Kind of Military Something or Other, named by Jesse Starcher. So that was hysterical, where we talked about G.I. Joe, you know, if that had anything to do with us, whether we went, you know, did or did not go into the military, things like that. That ended up with a quite lively discussion about how Mayberry turned out to be actually a sleeper military camp full of different
But how do you explain Floyd the Barber?
Oh, he was good with the blade, my friend.
He's the mastermind behind it all.
No. He's a soldier who was good with the blade, and that's why he kind of was nervous.
But people like him were not allowed in the military at a certain point in time. People like him, I say.
We don't
here's
know
the
that
thing.
About Floyd.
But here's the thing. He has no military record at all. No, he has no military record at all because he was Black Ops, man. He was completely 100% Black Ops, so his name was erased. We're talking like Jason Bourne type crap, you know? Black Briar.
I think we're
stuff.
Looking too far into the what that means as far as people like him. But we don't know that about dear Floyd, so we will not make any assumptions as to what kind of people Floyd was.
I'm good with a blade, Andy.
Now Floyd.
And the reason that and the reason that Barney Fife only had one bullet is that's because that's all he needed.
That's all it took.
Aunt B was actually a member of MI6. She was the money penny of the group. So it's actually quite a wonderful discussion. We had a lot of fun with it. So please go back in the Radulich and Broadcasting archives to check that out. Like I said, it was a lot of fun. Check out all the other awesome shows such as 411 Ground and Pound, Source Material, Damn You Hollywood, Metal Hammer of Doom, even though they discuss bands that I do not like, no matter what they say. Goat Horror. Is
did
not
they do
my
a show? Did they do a show about George Strait on there?
No.
Negative.
No, I'm probably not going to listen.
No, but they did do a show on a band called Goat Horror. So I don't know why you wouldn't listen to that. Oh wait, yes I do. But but listen to the show anyway, but not the band. But
you don't like promiscuous goats, is that what it is?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Jesse, Adam, thank you guys. And once again, for Patrick, for Adam, for Jesse, I am Ronnie. Voltron is the winner and always will be. Y'all have a good evening. We're out.